you as a pastor of House of David, where do we come from with the millennial reign?
What the millennial reign is, you know, millennial reign is referring to 1,000 years of Christ being on planet Earth, ruling and reigning from the city of Jerusalem, setting up an earthly kingdom. For that part, most people kind of agree that that's something that's a coming attraction. The bit larger question, I think, is probably, is there a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib rapture, catching away of certain believers, you know, into a preliminary rescue mission, so to speak, ahead of the tribulation period, a 7-year period of time.
Shalom, Rabbi Kurt Landry here, and I'm excited to talk about a subject that you're requesting. When you request things for us to be able to discuss, we try to answer all those needs. In fact, if you want, just go and you can leave it in the chat, and believe me, we try to. We're here to serve you. We're going to talk about the millennial reign. You hear me talk about the New Jerusalem and the thousand-year reign, so I'm bringing in my expert, Pastor Tim Osbald, that Bible prophecy, and so let's welcome Pastor Tim as he comes in. It's so good to have you here today. Thank you for coming in from the farm to share with us on a subject that I think is pretty well misunderstood by the, you don't hear a lot of people teaching about it. You know, there was more of that in the 90s and things, but like now, you know, you're not hearing about it, but our audience is asking. So anyway, let's go ahead and let's open up that discussion.
Okay, very good. You know, it's I agree with you. There was a lot more interest, I think, in some of the things as far as end time eschatology and some of the things, you know, in the 90s, early 2000s, simply because of the changing from the 90s into the 2000s. Mm-hmm. There was a huge interest at that time, and it caused questions, and then it's kind of subsided here in the last little bit.
Yeah, well, you know how Lindsay just passed away, and you know, he had a big audience, and I was blessed to be able to meet him, and you know, just really a, you know, he had Y2K back then in the day, and yeah, and I can remember prophesying that Y2K, nothing was going to happen, and I was literally almost stoned for saying nothing was going to happen, and nothing happened, and there was no apologies about it. But there's really basically three translations or opinions on millennial reign, and let's kind of unpack those three, and so that people, you know, I think that's probably the one of the biggest questions is like, where does House of David, and you as a pastor of House of David, where do we come from with the millennial reign?
Well, the millennial reign, you know, I think you first have to understand and kind of qualify what the millennial reign is. You know, millennial reign is referring to 1,000 years of Christ being on planet Earth, ruling and reigning from the city of Jerusalem, setting up an earthly kingdom. And for that part, most people kind of agree that that's a coming attraction. You know, the bit larger question, I think, is probably, is there a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib rapture, catching away of certain believers, you know, into a preliminary rescue mission, so to speak, mm-hmm. ahead of the tribulation period, a 7-year period of time, when literally all hell breaks loose on earth for a little while. And so there's a lot of, you know, still a lot of interest in that particular subject. But most people, like I say, everybody always wants to be a pre-tribulation rapture. And, you know, so there's different camps, you know, along that pre, mid, or post. Mm-hmm. And then you got, I guess you could say there's also a fourth. They call them pan-millennialist, and they say that basically they're not for sure exactly what's going to happen. It's all pan out in the end,
yeah,
you know, type of a thing. So
yeah. Well, let's talk about the millennial reign. Then, who's going to be, you know, reigning, and like who actually is going to be in that 1,000-year period of time? Who qualifies, and what can we expect?
Well, like I say, the millennial reign is basically for the believer who has made their faith known, a public acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is their Lord and their Savior. They get to come back, whether it's the saints that have died early and have went on to be with the Lord, and those who are still here on planet Earth in their natural body. There is a transition period that takes place. You know, some call it the rapture. That event takes where this mortal body puts on an immortality to inherit. And so they're able to come and go as Jesus, and they'll have a body just like what Christ is. I think a lot of people also forget that there's also going to be natural man that's here in this mortal body that will also be in the millennial time frame. They'll just be able to live a whole lot longer. It'll go back and be very similar to what it was prior to the flood when people were living, you know, 900 years and are able to do so in health. And so it reverts back to that. One of the things that it talks about in Scripture is that there's the thing that hath been is that which will be in Ecclesiastes. That's one of the things I was taught early on as far as understanding how the Lord works in his patterns and cycles, is that the Lord works in that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So that it, in the millennial period, those 1,000 years are just really similar to one day, which is the seventh day of the Lord's rest period of the days of creation.
So unpack it. So who is actually going to be living? What are the different groups living in the millennial reign? So there'll be the saints that died before Christ. There'll be those who are saved after the cross. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be those who are on earth during that season. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, there's different groups. And also, I believe, you know, and this is a kind of a controversial thing, I think there are different groups within each of those groups. There are levels, so to speak, as far as what. There are a lot of people that teach that, you know, where the illustration that Jesus uses as far as, you know, he gives talents to different people. One servant was given 5 talents, another servant given 2 talents, another servant given 1 talent. And at those levels that they're able to perform at is kind of what level they'll get to perform at in the coming 1,000-year reign. You know, the thing that we have to remember is this is a very real place. It's not something that's, you know, it's actually a kingdom that's functioning, operating, working with real tangibles here on planet Earth. Now, there's a place, you know, heaven is unique into itself, and it will continuously and always be what it is in heaven. But the thing is that the veil, so to speak, between that realm and this realm is greatly reduced as far as being able to visibly see one side and the other, I believe.
So what is the size of this New Jerusalem?
The size of New Jerusalem, according to Scripture, is that it's 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. So it's a huge place. It's a huge city that comes down above planet Earth and actually gives light to planet Earth during that period of time. It really doesn't come to its fullest extent, I don't believe, until after the 1,000 years are over and you enter into a time, what is called the time beyond time, where time is no longer kept. You'll see that more explained fully in Revelations 21 and 22.
Let's talk about real estate and mountains and lakes and oceans. During the millennial reign, is there going to be, this is hovering down over Jerusalem, so is there going to is the King David Hotel going to be there, or...
There's real functioning places, yes, just like what you'll see now. There'll be things that are very familiar, but there's also going to be a tremendous shift and change during the tribulation period. The Lord actually goes in and does a very pretty extensive remodel job on planet Earth. You know, some of the earthquakes and some of the things that transpire on planet Earth during the tribulation period completely changes the climate, the topography, lots of different things here on planet Earth is going to be changed. Some of the mountain ranges that we are familiar with now may not look exactly the same. Some of the oceans that we look at will not be the same. They're going to be redesigned and redeveloped in a new form and fashion.
So outside this 1,500 by 1,500 space, will there be people living in that part of the world?
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be life everywhere. You know, the great thing about, as far as the believer, If you have a, if you've got your new body, your immortal body, one that can never die, one can never feel pain, one that never grows old, you're able to come and go between the two, between the New Jerusalem and planet Earth. You're coming and going at will, at the speed of thought, I believe. Mm-hmm. There's some things that we don't fully comprehend or can't really, I don't think, fully grasp in our present, with our present mind, unless the Lord brings, you know, revelation to him. But everything that Jesus did when he came back in his resurrected body is the type of body that we'll have. He was physical in that people could handle him. He ate. Right. But he was also able to walk through walls. He was able to appear and disappear at will and go from one place to another with great speed. What kind of a speed that is, I'm not sure. I really believe it'll be faster than the speed of light.
Yeah, so very fourth dimensional.
Very fourth dimensional.
Wow. And the Lord's dealing with us right now with that revelation of the fourth dimension.
Yeah.
At least with some of the prophets. I do know that myself and others are, the Lord's trying to prepare us. Maybe, excuse me, maybe he's trying to prepare us because he's preparing us for this millennial reign. You know, one of the things that I teach is, you know, you have seven churches in Revelation, and it's only based off my study, and I'm not a theologian, but based off what I've studied is that the Church of Philadelphia, because it has the key of David, it is actually going to be part of the governmental system of this New Jerusalem, and the other six churches are not. Do you believe that way? Or
yeah, absolutely. You know, it talks about those that have a right to rule and reign. You know, there's a difference between a person who is actually following. You know, well, let me put it this way: there's a difference between being saved and being actually walking in the ways and the will of the Lord. You know, a lot of people that don't have anything other than just the desire to just be saved, that's what they get. They're saved and they're in the kingdom. But to actually have the power and the authority, the commissioning of the Lord to do specific things within the kingdom of God, I think that comes with, a commitment that starts here in this life, and then it plays out, you know, in the following.
Mm-hmm. We just got done doing another podcast, and one of the things that came up in the podcast was, and I don't think I've shared this with you before, but it kind of fits in with this, is the Lord was giving me a download while I was in Phoenix, and basically was kind of me visualizing in the courts of heaven. You have God on the throne, but sitting to the right hand of the Father is Jesus, but there's no Holy Spirit chair. And so, and I've never thought of this before. And so I asked the Lord, I said, where's the Holy Spirit's chair? And he said, it's in you. So it's Christ in you, because the Holy Spirit is in Jesus. And when we are born again, then that Holy Spirit is in us. And so I think the reason I'm bringing this up is that so many Christians are salvation Christians, but they're not kingdom. And they need to understand, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, that the Holy Spirit is only a down payment. The full payment is what we're talking about, is in this millennial reign, and that's where the full payment. But the thing is, the key to operating in kingdom power now is the Christ in you, what TL taught us. It's the power of that Holy Spirit within us. And I think that's really, that's a revelation I think people need to allow. You need to allow that to sink in, and allow that the power of that is, like, I think sometimes we stop short and just say, you know, I'm stopping here, I'm saved, and that's the end of it. But all the signs and wonders, and these signs shall follow those who are sent, all of that comes from an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, operates through the nine gifts of the Spirit, but it's you and a mindset where you have a kingdom mindset, understanding that while that Spirit is in you, the Lord sits at the right hand of the Father, and so there's a connection between the third heaven and your body, and that's where the miracles and the signs and the wonders happen. So I wasn't planning on going here, but let's talk as people, you can't go into this subject is let's talk about pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, and whatever happens, trib. So, I'll just be honest with you. I have, because of my background, and you know me, this you're familiar. I believe as a man thinks, so he is. So what I've always done is I mentally, as a minister, I project myself out even actually into the 1,000-year reign. Because a lot of the character and the value systems that the Lord is doing in me, what's happening is it has nothing to do with the prep work of what I'm dealing with now. It's for later. It's for that millennial reign. And I understand that. I understand when I hold a baby that most likely that child is not going to get to full maturity in this life because the Lord will come back. But like, why would you prophesy all these things? Well, that child's going to be fulfilling those things out during that 1,000-year reigns in the New Jerusalem. So, but for me, I've never mentally, like I'm not an escapist. I'm very entrepreneurial, very realist, very practical. And so I would rather take you and have you discipled and have a plan for a long play and be too prepared than to be underprepared. And that's been my issue with it is with the tribulation. And listen, I've got friends and you know who I preach and they're all about the tribulation. I haven't gone there because if everyone gets raptured out, I hope that I qualify and I get raptured. I don't want to be left behind. It's not that. You're not going to be raptured, if I understand scripturally, because you're believing for it. You're going to be raptured because of your righteousness in Him. So I should be able to go, but I can't focus on it. You see what I'm saying? Because if I do, I can't. How do I do my work? How do I do what I do? So let's talk about that mindset, because you know much more about it because you come from that background of let's break it down. So what is pre-trib, like rapture? What is that? Why do people, I know why people like it, but like what drives to that? What scriptures do they use to make that statement?
A lot of people go back to the scripture says that we're not appointed unto wrath. And so because of that, they believe that the tribulation period is the wrath of God being poured out. And so they don't believe that as a believer, that you are subject to having to go through, as the bride of Christ, to go through that type of persecutions, and that the Lord is not just leaving you there, so to speak, to go through that to purify you. They believe that you've already been purified because you've come to faith in Jesus Christ. You have, as it talks about the churches, you have a first love experience, and that you're able to maintain that, so that you're actually looking for His return and longing for His return. And I, you know, I agree with that the Lord is coming back for those who are looking for Him and longing for Him. And in fact, you know, Jesus Christ said numerous times whenever He was describing what it would be like in the end times when He would return, because His disciples asked Him this question, you know, numerous times about when He was going to set up His kingdom, when He was going to return. And He goes into a long kind of explanations of the things to be looking for whenever He's going to return. And so part of the thing is, you know, is that to those that really look for Him, it says He'll return the second time without sin unto salvation. That's also one of the scriptures that it's being talked about for a pre-tribulation. Then it talks about, you know, the wedding. And He uses a parable about a man that went, you know, was given a wedding, and he went and called guests to come to the wedding. And then, you know, some would come, some made excuses why they couldn't come. You know, there's numerous things that goes along with that. And so a lot of times we have the idea that there's only, you know, there's either there's a pre-trib, there's a mid-trib, or there's a post. Other people teach that there's actually a little bit of all of those events, that there will be a certain group that goes in a pre-trib. There'll be a certain group that will go mid because of the purification and basically the recognition. And then there'll some that will come in at the very last stages, you know, of the tribulation, the seven-year period of time. Regardless of how that goes, the thing is that we need to focus on just being pleasing unto the Lord, that our hearts are really turned to Him, to serving Him, and that we really do have on a wedding garment. You know, the parable of the virgins.
Exactly.
You know, there were five that were wise and five that were foolish, but they're still all called virgins. And so there were some that got to go in early, and there's others that were left outside for a while. So that gives a lot of people the idea that there may be more than one event, so to speak, that takes place as far as a removal, a catching away into the kingdom.
Yeah, I am not anti-rapture. But mine's more about, you know, abiding in kingdom authority until He returns. And I think that that mindset, I think if you get too focused on it, like anything, you get out of balance. And what happens is you become so heavenly bound, you're no earthly good, you know, where you're just like in a survival mode. I mean, think about all the, even recently with this, you know, current re-election of Donald Trump, you know, the way people were prophesying and saying things before, and when we didn't know which direction it was going to go. And now there's been like, there's going to be a total shift in the nations, and total shift already. He's, you know, he's not even in office yet. I don't know when this podcast is going to run, but he's already had a tremendous effect on the way nations are making decisions. And I think the lesson in that is suddenly, and moments with the Lord are very important. And the Lord can change things suddenly, and He can change them in a moment. And I think that what happens is, if you'll be about the Father's work, which Jesus was, then when the time comes for your moment, you're ready because you're busy about the Father's work and walking in the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. So do you have anything else on the millennial you would like to share?
You know, one of the things that I think is important to realize and recognize that a lot of people have the idea, well, how do you know this is the last days? Well, I think one of the biggest signs, of course, is that Israel is back in her land. You know, Jesus made several statements that, you know, what to look for to His disciples about when He was going to return. And so the fact that Israel is back in her land, and she's been there for, you know, since 1948, and she came back into possession of the city of Jerusalem in 1967. All of those come in accordance with what the Lord's time clock is. The Lord sets patterns and times, and I'm not an expert on the Shemitah year, but I know that we are kind of in the middle of a Shemitah right now. The Shemitah will end in 2029. Mm-hmm. There's numerous other things that are getting ready to happen in 2029, you know, as far as there's a asteroid that supposedly is to pass really, really close to Earth, and some say it might hit an asteroid by the name of Apophis. Whether that happens or not, the thing is that we can look and see that the hand of the Lord is on the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel is always, you know, it's kind of the canary in the coal mine. As the Lord deals with that, then we as the Gentile nations need to be watching that and understanding the closeness of the return of Jesus Christ. He said to watch the fig tree. When it blossoms, you know that summer's near. And so as we're seeing some of these things, you know, now's not a time to get discouraged. Now's a time to be encouraged. Because we know that the return of Jesus Christ is close. You know, it says in the Old Testament, the prophets talks about 2 days that we'll be removed from His sight. But in the third day, it says we'll live in His sight. And so it's been 2,000 years. In 2030, it will be 2,000 years exactly from when Christ was resurrected. And so it's interesting that those time frames, God is a great timekeeper, and he's never behind or off schedule in the things that He does. Mm-hmm. The fact that Israel came back into existence a nation born in a day fulfilling prophecy, that's a very big indicator that the Lord is faithful to keep his promises. So everything else that is spoken in the prophets about the return of Israel and the return of Jesus Christ, I think we can take it to the bank. He's going to come when he's supposed to come.
Yes. You know, as I was preparing for this, I was looking at some things, and Pastor David Jeremiah came up on the millennial teaching. He's a very good teacher. But one of the things that he brought up, and it just it brought joy to me, was he said, do you realize that the third most popular Christmas hymn is actually speaking about the millennial reign? And I'm thinking, well, what's he talking about? So anyway, then he brought joy to the world, and it said, and he started going through, it says, let earth receive her king and their king. And he said, you know, when at Christmas, he wasn't the king in the manger, you know? And he went into the whole thing. He was breaking it down. So it's an interesting time where the Lord's been kind of hinting and encouraging us to not to be consumed with focused on it, but you don't need to be afraid of it. And that's our prayer for you right now is, Father God, in the name of Yeshua Jesus, perfect love casts out all fear. And whatever you're going through, know that the Lord is polishing, preparing. He is the potter. You are the clay. He's making you into that precious vessel. He will not leave you. He nor shall he forsake you. Let him pour out his love. Trust him, because he is trustworthy. And understand that don't try to waste your life or worrying about the morrow, as Jesus said, because the morrow will take care of itself. And the Lord is so precious. And one of the reasons we wanted to talk about this subject, because you asked. So I really pray that it has helped you, and it's not to be fearful. And because you've been fearfully and wonderfully made, created in his image. And when he created you, you know what he said? It is good. So be a son, be a daughter, be a king and a priest, and let his light shine. Pastor Tim, thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. And we hope to have you back soon. God bless you. Thank you for joining the Kurt Landry Podcast. And God bless you. Make sure you share this. Subscribe on our YouTube channel. Also go, we have a new app. It's a One New Man app. You can sign up for that. It's free, very powerful, has all of our teachings on there. You'll truly enjoy it. And until next time, shalom, shalom.